Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
On this episode, we've got updates on Michigan basketball, hockey, and football coach Jim Harbaugh, plus some recruiting and portal news. That and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here Tuesday morning, January 23rd. Kind of icy, rainy, snowy Ann Arbor. We've got various topics to cover, as I mentioned in the intro, but let's start with like the newsiest one, which is Jim Harbaugh. I guess Aaron, we'll start with you. Just what's the latest set the table here for, you know, Harbaugh's interviews and where he's at in his, you know, pursuit of an NFL head coaching job.
Yeah, he's a legitimate candidate for two head coaching vacancies, I guess you could say, the Chargers being one and the Atlanta Falcons being the second. He's interviewed with both already once, and he's scheduled to interview with both franchises again this week. So that would be interview number two for each team. That, you know, signals that he's a legitimate, you know, probably top tier candidate. The odds would tell you that the Chargers are the favorite. At last I checked this morning, he was like minus 400 or something like that to get the Chargers job on DraftKings. So that is the spot to look at right now. We believe he's set to interview either today or Wednesday. And then I read that the Falcons are on Thursday. So we may get some clarity on the situation by the end of the week is my guess. I can't imagine either franchise wanting to interview him beyond the second time, although I guess it's possible. So that's where things stand. We're kind of in a holding pattern right now. We're waiting for a decision to be made and an offer to be extended, assuming there is one, and Jim to make a decision. Right now, it certainly leans that he's going to the NFL. I mean, all signs point to him being clearly interested in going back to the NFL, from hiring the agent to waiting this out, waiting to sign a contract extension with Michigan. There's just a lot going on here, and we're waiting, as is really the case has been the last couple of years in this time of the year. January and February have kind of always, especially the last 2 years, have been reserved for Jim and his NFL exploits, and that's been no difference this year.
And the fact that the Chargers still have an open GM position as well, kind of just it seems like the stars are aligning a little bit, like they can hire someone that could work with Harbaugh or work well with Harbaugh, they hope, and he can help turn around that franchise. Again, Atlanta's an intriguing spot too. If like they're in a division that's very winnable, it feels like they're a quarterback away from contention. And I mean, they pick eighth overall. Do they want to hire Jim and then snag JJ at number eight? I mean, it's probably a little bit early, but you can kind of guarantee yourself a quarterback and maybe, you know, bring in another guy for a year or two and before JJ's ready. But both spots make sense, and I think that he can win in either spot. And yeah, like Aaron said, it looks like there's legitimate interest on his part to return to the NFL this year, and it might finally be being reciprocated, unlike in years past where he hasn't really received an offer.
Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think of the idea of, you know, Bill Belichick getting one of those jobs and Harbaugh then maybe getting the other?
Yeah, that's certainly where things are leaning. I think Belichick is the favorite to get the Falcons job. He has interviewed twice already for that franchise. Jim, I think probably it seems like the other option, but the way I've been reading things, the Falcons are also planning to interview several other candidates to bring in Mike Vrabel this week. They've interviewed a ton of coordinators. And I think one ESPN report on Monday described the interview the search as wide open. So the Falcons, I don't necessarily know where they're going. While Belichick is the favorite, they could go somewhere else as well. But as Zook pointed out, I mean, Jim wants to go where I think he is in a good situation to try and win a Super Bowl. Obviously, there's work to do with both franchises. There's deficiencies in on both teams, but they have the pieces to do it. As Zook said, like, you know, the Falcons are in a relatively weak division. The Chargers have an intriguing quarterback and some intriguing pieces defensively. So the makeup is there. It's just about kind of putting it together and kind of busting through. So, Jim has made no bones about wanting to go back to the NFL and winning a Super Bowl. That remains his goal of his. He's accomplished everything he could at Michigan, won three Big Ten titles, won a national championship. Now is the time to go. And I think if the situation's there, and Jim likes the makeup of the franchise and where things are headed, this would be the time to go.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of quality candidates this year too, and not a lot of great openings. And like, I'm surprised, like Mike Vrabel. I mean, to me, Mike Vrabel would be a top candidate. I mean, what he was able to do with the Titans with little talent, in my opinion, was pretty remarkable. And he's still pretty young and can relate to players. And I mean, Bill Belichick's got the track record he has. I mean, there's a lot of intriguing candidates out there too. But yeah, I mean, I can't see Harbaugh wanting to go full rebuild with like the Panthers. I mean, Seattle's probably pretty can compete. Commanders, maybe not. Titans are in a little bit of a precarious position too. So, I mean, it makes sense why he's kind of dialed in or zeroed in on these two openings as far as Harbaugh goes. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like there's some quality candidates, and there could be more if teams had more, you know what, to fire their coaches after disappointing seasons. But I mean, that's not my job to speak on that. But I thought there might be some more openings after the first round of the playoffs too.
Well, whether he goes to the NFL or returns to Michigan, I guess where does it kind of leave Michigan right now? It seems like they're in a bit of a holding pattern, obviously, with not just the staff, but then, the roster, whether it be recruiting high school prospects or, you know, hitting that transfer portal. I guess, Ryan, where do kind of things stand with Michigan? And we can get into how, you know, some of their rivals are, you know, making progress in those areas.
Right. So, I mean, right now is a very crucial, it's a contact period during the recruiting cycle. So it means like schools can bring prospects in and meet with them. They can go to their high schools and talk with them. And it's a valuable time, but it's tough for Michigan right now because there's so much uncertainty around their head coach. Like, I mean, Strohmore and a lot of the assistants have been out recruiting, but it's not like they're going to pick up a commitment right now. Like, why would a kid commit to a program when you don't know if Harbaugh is coming there and you don't know for sure? Like, people can say, yeah, it's probably going to be Sharon, but it's no guarantee. So you would probably want to wait and see what unfolds there. And I mean, if you're Michigan, you kind of want something to happen sooner rather than later, especially for like Gatlin Bear, their one really only remaining target in the 2024 class. They've been recruiting him for a long, long time. They finished second place to BYU or Boise State in his initial recruitment. He decommitted, and now it's between Michigan and Oregon. And it seemed like Michigan had the edge, but now Oregon's making a push. Like, Dan Lanning staying there, they have some momentum. They've been landing some good guys in the portal. And then there's Michigan right now with a lot of uncertainty. So if, I mean, the early or the traditional or signing period is the first Wednesday in February, that's coming up. Who knows if we'll have clarity by then, but it's starting to maybe not look as good for Michigan on that front. But the real question is the 2025 cycle and them kind of being behind the eight ball there. And then, yeah, like they haven't been as active in the transfer portal. And just like you saw how important every single portal addition was for this team this year. If they don't have a Drake Nugent or an AJ Barner or Josiah Store, some of the other guys, who knows if they win the title. So they're going to have holes to fill. So yeah, it's as soon as Jim makes a decision, I think Michigan needs to get someone in place almost immediately.
Yeah. I mean, let's Ohio State obviously is one of those teams that has been, active in the portal. They added Alabama's, quarterback, the freshman that was coming in who had already, enrolled early, but with Nick Saban leaving, entered the portal and now ended up at Ohio State. They had already got, a quarterback from Kansas State previously, as well as some other players at different positions. I guess this is to be expected, right? They have a coach and staff in place, so they can be way more active.
Yeah, I mean, they got Caleb Downs too, the safety from Alabama we saw in the Rose Bowl, one of the better young players in the country. I mean, they're loaded right now. Ohio State is going to be an intriguing team. They probably will be the favorite to win the Big Ten next year, potentially win the national championship, and rightfully so. They've used the offseason to try and load up I think they realize some of the deficiencies that they've had the last couple of years. I mean, and look, there's part of it is desperation mode too, right? Like Ryan Day realizes he doesn't have much longer of a leash. I mean, you've got to win the Big Ten and get to the national championship given the star power and talent that they've had the last couple of years. It's not like they've had bad teams, you know, last 3 years. They've had good teams. They've just lost to Michigan every year. So, this is the year to do it. And I think they realize that they're loading up. It's do or die time for the Buckeyes. I'm really curious to see how they fare next year. But right now, I mean, gosh, you look up down the transfer portal. They landed some elite coaches, brought in Bill O'Brien to be the offensive coordinator and potentially call plays.
Oh, let's pump the brakes on Bill O'Brien a little bit as some elite addition. Like, that's the one maybe questionable thing they've done this offseason. Like, I don't know if that's going to move the needle that much, but
hey, he's
the players they brought in.
He's got experience coaching quarterbacks. He's won at the high level. I mean, he's respected. I mean, it seems like his name always comes up for head coaching jobs. Maybe that's more the work of his agent than anyone else, but he's well-respected in the industry. He's got a lot of experience. And look, the knock against Ryan Day the last couple of years has been like the play calling offensively, right? So if you can put it in someone else's hands, and look, I'm not saying Bill O'Brien is the guy, but if you can get a fresh set of eyes and a fresh, you know, take on things, maybe it changes things up. I don't know. But like, that's been the one knock against the Buckeyes is some of the play calling offensively. So we'll see if it changes. They certainly got the talent to do it. We'll see if they can put it together in 2024.
I mean, except for playing against Michigan, I thought their play calling was pretty good for C.J. Stroud for the 2 years. And then, yeah, Kyle McCord this year obviously wasn't up to par. But, yeah, the fact that they've landed, like, the number one options at certain positions in the portal, like, even they landed the top-ranked running back in the portal, too, from Ole Miss. So it's, and I love that Lane Kiffin was out there retweeting or that the Ohio State, like, spent $13 million in the portal this year. I mean, that's kind of a funny thing, too. But, like, if you're Michigan, you've got to start being more involved, you would think, like in trying to land some of these guys. And I saw yesterday that CJ Stroud donated at least six figures to an NIL collective at Ohio State. I mean, you wonder if that's going to start opening the floodgates for other former players to donate to their alma maters and try and get them and boost their NIL collectives and trying to retain and land players in the portal. Cause right now, yeah, Michigan is lacking in that regard. And they're going to need to make some splashes probably in the spring portal opening, because they're going to have holes. As we talked about last podcast, they're losing a lot of players, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Second podcast in a row that Zook came in hot about a former NFL head coach. I'm trying to think. Last week it was the Chargers guy.
It was Brandon Staley, yes.
But yeah, I don't know if you're a Michigan fan, you maybe take some comfort in the fact that this has happened the last few years with Harbaugh, you know, the offseason stuff, and maybe getting delayed in your recruiting and the portal stuff because you went to the playoffs. Now, obviously, this was the first year they went to the national championship that pushed it back even another week. But, despite those distractions and, you know, the late start, they still had the success on the field each year and still beat Ohio State, you know, actually. So, but I don't know, maybe now this is it'll start to catch up with them with the roster. I don't know. But
I think you're right there. Cause like their recruiting classes haven't been great the past couple of years, and they've had like the Will Johnson class and with the Mason Grahams and him and Kenneth Grants, there were some intriguing pieces there. I don't think the 2023 class was that great, and in 2024 it's tough for freshmen to make immediate impacts. I mean, I don't think they're going to be bad next year, but yeah, they're definitely not going to be the favorite. And right now I'm looking at Ohio State and it's like, wow, I think they're definitely going to be a pretty big favorite to win it all next year, even with the conference expanding. But you never know, there could be some big names in the portal come the spring, and Michigan's very active then. I think they will be. But yeah, you need a head coach first. And at that point, we don't know who that's going to be.
Right. All right, let's move on to some talk of winter sports. Zook hockey, we previewed this last podcast, the Michigan State series. How did that go?
Yeah, I mean, it was a monster series. I know it's still only January, but it's the second half of the year and it's crunch time. And first time in 12 years that MSU was ranked higher than Michigan heading into a series. I mean, the Spartans are are legit this year. They've finally brought in some quality talent. They were very active in the portal, and I think a lot of people were interested in seeing how this was going to go. And on Friday night, Michigan goes in there and absolutely smashes Michigan State 7-1. I mean, they were control from the outset, taking a 3-0 lead in the first period, continue to pour it on. Emotions kind of boiled over, led to like 170 something penalty minutes in the game. And then Michigan's arguably their top forward, Gavin Brindley, got hurt in that game and didn't play Saturday. So you're like, top line forward without him. How is that going to happen in the second game of a back to back? Well, for the first half of the game, it didn't really matter. I mean, Michigan dominated for the first 30 minutes. One of their most dominating 30 minutes I've seen them play since I've been covering the team. Went up 4-1 midway through the game. The guy that scored, Rucker McGroarty, a first-round pick, that was his 10th shot of the game for their fourth goal, and Michigan State had 9 shots as a team. I mean, they were completely dominating. And then after the TV timeout midway through the period, the wheels completely fell off, and Sparty came back with 4 goals in the rest of the period to take a 5-4 lead. Had another one in the third, and ended up scoring 6 straight before Michigan pulled within 2 late for a 7-5 final. So a missed opportunity there for the Wolverines, and they kind of needed a sweep. A sweep would have been huge. They're kind of on the bubble right now as far as the NCAA tournament goes. Beating a MSU team that was ranked top 10 would have been huge for the pairwise. It's still not a backbreaker. They're still 14th, and it didn't kill their season. But like, they got a tough schedule coming up, and it's like, man, you're up 4-1 against your rival in complete control, and then just some costly turnovers, poor puck management. 4 pucks are in the back of your net in the last 10 minutes of the second period, and at home, and it's just kind of a shocking thing to see. That I've never seen a game change that quickly, and all of a sudden you're splitting with your rival instead of earning a sweep. And I mean, players knew it. They said, we outplayed them for 110 out of 120 minutes, and yet we both finished with 3 points on the weekend. So kind of a squandered opportunity, but they're moving on to face a top 5 team this week in Wisconsin too. So we'll see if they can bounce back. They're at home, probably need to get at least one win this weekend. Otherwise, it could be a tough road to get to the tournament moving forward.
All right, basketball, women. Since we last talked, they played 2 games. They lost at Nebraska, but won at Rutgers. They are, what do I have here? 13-6 overall, 4-3 in the Big Ten. Scoring, usually when they score a normal amount of points, they win. In their 6 losses, 2 of them, three of them, they've been in the 40s, another one in the 50s. And that was the case in the loss at Nebraska. They only scored 43 points. So you're not going to win too many games when that happens. They host Maryland Wednesday night, and then they're at Michigan State on Saturday. So, couple big games coming up for the women. The men are 7-11, 2-5 in the Big Ten. They beat Ohio State on Monday, which we talked about the 15th, but then lost at home to Illinois 88-73. It was a 1-point game at half, but Michigan just gave up way too many points in the second half, and could not hang with Illinois. They go to Purdue tonight. They're at number 2 ranked Purdue, 9:00 p.m. here tonight, January 23rd. It's on the Peacock game. That's gonna be a huge challenge. I mean, Michigan is like 17 or 18 point underdog in this game. Purdue, their offense is incredible, with Zach Edey in the middle, the 7'4", 300-pound senior, National Player of the Year last year, front runner again right now to win that award for a second straight year. And they surround him with a lot of other capable scorers and shooters. So, it's kind of pick your poison for Michigan, who has had Hunter Dickinson in the past for these matchups with Edey, but obviously doesn't anymore. And won't have starting point guard Doug McDaniel for this game either, since it's a road game. So he will be sitting out. You know, puts a lot more pressure on the other guards and everyone else on this team. So it would be a huge upset if Michigan can pull it off, but we'll see.
Kudos too to the Purdue coaching staff, because it seems like every year I watch Edie, he's getting better and better as a player. I think done a good job of developing him. I remember watching him as a freshman. He was so like uncoordinated. He was this like big hulking guy who like he could finish the basket, but like you know, he was kind of sloppy with the ball and would turn it over. And now it's like he's a beast, man. Like he has a legit and like NBA future in him. He's a good player.
When was his freshman year? Like 2014? Seems like he's been around a while.
he's a normal fourth year senior. All right. Yeah, I know. So yeah, he came in with Dickinson. So that, yeah, they've been, you know, competing for a little while. But yeah, I mean, it is amazing. His, you know, conditioning has just gotten so good. I mean, he plays, you know, about 30 minutes a game, you know, no problem. You know, he makes his free throws now. He's at 75% from the line. Yeah, and it's just it is amazing. You know, obviously Purdue's problem has been, you know, in the NCAA tournament, but in the Big Ten, you know, they've been a force now for years. They won, you know, the regular season and the tournament last year. And you know, I think their game in the loss column behind Wisconsin right now, but you know, haven't played them yet either. There are two matchups with them, but yeah. They're good. 17-2 overall. So haven't lost at home, you know, all year. And yes, this will be quite the challenge for a Michigan team that just, you know, hasn't shown it yet against, you know, really good teams. So yeah, we'll have coverage of all this stuff, Jim Harbaugh and then the Winter Sports and more on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.